Hi, friends. Logan Clements here with the Better Events Podcast. In this week's episode, we are talking all about how to be a stage manager at an event. This is a term you might have heard when you think about theater and, you know, surprisingly, they are stage managers at all different types of events. I've stage managed at a basketball tournament. I have stage managed at a gala. I've stage managed at a conference. You name it, you probably can have a stage manager at it if it's an event. And so Mary and I are going to break down a little bit more about what a stage manager does, what makes a good stage manager, what kind of skills you need, and some tips if you're looking to break into becoming a stage manager at events in the future. Before we fully jump into it, we do want to remind you, if you are liking what you're hearing with this podcast, consider leaving us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. We love those 5 stars. It just helps us grow this community and help other people discover this podcast and continue to grow and learn with us. Or consider sharing this episode with a friend, because we love the Better Events Pod community and we love growing along with you guys. So feel free to share and rate us and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. Without further ado, let's get into this week's episode.
Welcome to the Better Events Podcast. Join 2 event strategists, Logan Clements and Mary Davidson, who believe we can all create, host, and attend better events. In this podcast, you will learn about event strategy and actions that you can use today as an event host, planner, or manager. Hear directly from the people who are creating innovative and inspiring events today and tomorrow, and grow your business along the way. Now, let's get started, and thanks for listening to the Better Events Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Better Events Podcast. In today's episode, we are talking all about how to be a stage manager at an event. This has been a requested topic, so we are very excited to get into it. But before we do, we have our conversation starter for today, which is, if you had a personal mascot, what would your mascot be? And Logan, I bet you're thrilled to answer this question. So take it away.
Oh, I love a mascot. Listeners, you know that from my sporting world. So this conversation starter is quite funny. But now, having to think about my own personal mascot, I'm a little stumped. Golden Retriever came to mind at first. But I feel like a lot of the mascots I love are not really actually a real animal of some form or thing. It's just kind of a, you don't really know what it is. I'm from Philadelphia. We have our Philly Fanatic is a big green hairy something, and Gritty for the hockey team is a big scary orange something. So I feel like I would have, I don't know, a big blue blob of a mascot of some form. I like the color blue a lot, and I think he'd do a lot of silly bits and just be really kind of like the whimsical side of me. Cause he'd be there my own personal mascot would be there to crack me up and just like make me laugh and remind me not to stress too much. Mary, how about you? If you had a personal mascot, what would yours be?
This is the fun question. I have so many ideas. At first I was going to say some like lion or tiger, you know, I'm going with the cat route, but I do think, like you said, it'd be more fun to have something like a big blob, or maybe like a big ice cream cone or something with something.
I love
like
an
that.
Ice cream cone. Yeah.
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 I'll go with
and
that.
What would your mascot do? Would it be like hyping you up?
Yes. Oh, hype mascot, 100%. And yeah, I don't know. What else would they do if they're an ice cream cone? I don't know, but they would hype you up. Right. That's for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be related to what they actually are. I'd love if we all had personal mascots, to be honest. I feel like that would make a lot of situations pretty funny, that you'd be like, this is my mascot, meet your mascot. Like, and listeners, one of the things about mascots is they're not supposed to talk, because if it has a voice, like voice is something that you like mentally, you like link to your kids. If they watch TV, they're going to know characters by their voice and their songs. And so it's like one of those like mascot etiquette is that they don't speak. And so that's kind of the fun part. It's a lot of like pantomiming and things like that, but then it's very much like open to your imagination. I feel like this would be a good question to ask a lot of our friends, Mary, and or
I feel like it tells you about someone, like it gives you a little bit of their personality or something. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listeners, think about it. Think about this question. And, you know, if you need a good icebreaker for someone at a networking event, this one probably would be a pretty funny one just to out of the blue. But a little bit about like why we're choosing this topic. Mary, like she mentioned, you guys have requested us to talk about what it is to be a stage manager at events. Both of us have worked as stage managers before, so we think we can speak from our personal experience. And I would count this similar to the sports episode that we just did, talking about sports presentation and entertaining event ideas. I feel like stage manager at an event is a hidden in plain sight role, where they are almost every event needs a stage manager or someone to do the duties of a stage manager, even if they don't go by that title. And so it is one that you can learn from it and be able to do this no matter what your role is great, or you could specialize. I know some people who only stage manage at events. That is the only thing they're doing. So I'm very excited to dive in. And I think, Mary, as we always do, we like to start broad. So what do we mean when we say stage manager?
Well, according to Google, the stage manager is the person responsible. This isn't true. What? The person responsible for the lighting and other technical arrangements for, okay, for a stage play. So it went all theater. So, okay, I need
Mary
to read
broke Google.
I say them out loud. Google, throw this out. Google might not be relevant. A little off today.
Yeah, not relevant. I mean, love stage manager. Yeah, so stage manager, if you're a listener and you hear this without context, you're probably going to think of theater, like Google. You're going to be like them. But a stage manager in events is usually the person who is managing everything that happens physically on the stage. They're usually positioned somewhere near the stage. If you have a backstage behind the scenes, out of sight of the audience, that's where they'd be. But they're the ones managing the speakers coming on and off your stage. So they're sometimes getting the next speaker ready. They might also be in charge of moving props and things on and off the stage, and sometimes even have more of a technical component with dealing with audio. Bigger shows, you would actually have someone called an A2, the second audio person, because your first one's on the control panel. Your A2, your second audio, would be the one doing microphones. Yeah, I feel like anything with speakers or talent, like a performer, so that's why you think theater, and props would involve a stage manager. I've also heard a stage manager be called a deck manager, because some people call the stage a deck. Our friend Nancy from Tempo Live Events calls it a deck manager. I also have heard in theater, sometimes the stage manager is actually the show caller, the person who is queuing everything for the show, and they're called a stage manager. So the context we're talking about, though, is the stage manager not being a show caller at events. They are more managing speakers, and that's the lens that we're going to kind of take it on. And I guess I already answered our next question, Mary, but what does our stage manager typically do at an event?
I think you answered it, but I will say, for me, this is the role that gets most forgotten and is needed. I've noticed a lot of production companies don't provide it, but no one has the expertise or the ability to know how to provide it on the client side. And then all of a sudden, we as the event planners are like, okay, so one of us are gonna do it, but we weren't necessarily planning on it. So now all of a sudden, someone's like stuck by the stage, but they're trying to also like manage the event. And so I don't know, that's just a call out of how I've experienced it, is it's important and it gets forgotten.
Yeah, I think the more complex an event, the more you need. And usually you would have at least one stage manager per stage or room. So if you're doing an event that has multiple tracks, multiple rooms, you probably want a stage manager with, you know, each of those rooms. I agree with you, Mary. It's usually forgotten. I think a lot of people think if they have a very simple show, you know, a simple presentation going on, they don't need a stage manager, or they think speakers will just know to come up. It is absolutely essential to have one if you have a lot of speakers moving, and by a lot, I mean like more than five. If you have more than five people speaking, you need someone to manage. I do a lot of corporate like award shows, and the stage manager is so crucial for that, of just helping people know where to go, getting them off stage. They're essentially, I always say, they're the hands and the feet of the show caller or director, because the show caller usually needs to be in the back at a tech table with all the rest of the tech team. And some of these rooms we work in are quite large. And so the stage manager is the physical person who would be there, versus your show caller or your producer having to get up and walk all the way to the stage. I've also done this role at sporting events. So I do that with my Pac-12 conference that I love working with. I'm a stage manager for that. So at basketball games, again, hidden plain sight here, but they have props. We have games we play with fans on the court. And so we, as stage managers, there's a team of us. We are the ones casting that. We're going and picking the fans. We are setting up all the props. And when our director in our headset says go, we're the one cueing them, and then making sure as soon as we're done, clearing everything off the court so that the basketball game can continue. So there are stage managers everywhere.
Yeah. So let's talk through some like specific examples of what we have done or where we've seen stage managers at our events and what the experiences were. There's a few in particular. I think that stage management out of some of these other like production type roles might be the one that I like the most, maybe because it's like least intimidating. I know that's probably why. But there's one event that I was like behind the stage and was like very much telling people when to like go on and off and like opening the curtain for them because it was like really hard to find where they were supposed to enter from, like those types of things. And I don't do like production roles a lot, so I feel like I was kind of just figuring that out, but I could tell how essential it was. Like people really were back there and they were nervous and they like needed to be told where to go. And so that was really helpful to do. Yeah. And then also while they're like waiting for their turn, we kind of were able to like review like, okay, remember you're only taking 5 minutes. Like, I don't know, just like it was nice. So that's one of my experiences. I would say that was for, this was for like a keynote session at like a small conference. So I think there were maybe like 300 people in the room. But that was kind of the vibe. So Logan, what about you? What's an example?
Yeah. The sports ones are the ones I always think of first, because that's most recently the ones that I feel like I've truly stage managed. So I did basketball and I've also done a couple football championships. And again, where it comes out, you need a team. I had one year, I had just the role where I was managing all the groups. So people that we were bringing down to the football field. Again, these stadiums are huge. So we had specific routes that we were allowed to take guests with special passes. And so I was in charge of bringing like the anthem, the national anthem singer down from their green room down to the field. And I would just hand them off to the stage managers who were on the field. And that was my only role, was just bringing these people. And that, I mean, I didn't sit down the entire game because I was escorting groups back and forth and everything and handing them off and then going back and getting another group and then taking them back. Like, so that's also a piece if you have a really big venue, or I'm also thinking like a general session I've produced, not stage managed, where our stage manager stays with the stage and is in back of the house in the green room waiting on the speakers. And we actually have someone from the client side who recognizes all of these leaders who would be the person to go and get the speakers. Now, some speakers, you know, if you're listening to this, you're like, my speakers just know if they have to go. That's great. If they know and they're going to be in the right place, awesome. But you still need someone just in case there's that one. You're like, we can't find Cindy. Has anyone seen Cindy? And it's like, okay, whoever you're sending to go get Cindy needs to know what Cindy looks like. Ideally, if they have their cell phone number, you know, can try to get them in place. So that's where you might need even more than one body. I feel like I've definitely used, and I know Mary, you and I have worked together on a hybrid dinner that I do. And it was one that each year, I think I had you with me my first year. And then second year, I realized I need another person. And I call you guys, I think, associate producers, but really we're all, you know, could be stage managers as well, helping with mic handoffs and just kind of directing people where to go, because it was one that I realized I couldn't be doing 4 things at once. So, but yeah, you can stage manage, I mean, anything. I think you've done some really cool fundraisers with some stage managers.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you pointed that out, like with what you said previously, because there really are so many different ways that you can utilize it. And I think it really depends on your program and like the vibe that you're looking for sure. Cause there's one fundraiser that we've done where we had a stage manager who was truly dedicated to just being backstage and queuing performances and speakers. And it was a super tight program. And so like there was no time to search, like they needed to be on when they were on. And then to your point, Logan, we had a like speaker and performer wrangler who was the person identifying the people because they knew them. And yeah, I would say that combo is like really crucial if you're trying to do something that is more of a production, like a show, and you have a tight program, like absolutely. So yeah, I think I could give, now that I'm thinking about it, there are quite a few examples of when I worked with a stage manager. I've never regretted having a stage manager or working with one. They've always just helped lighten the load.
Yeah. And I think that comes down to, you know, we had an earlier episode also talking about event teams on site. I mean, like you said, it's a forgotten role. And sometimes it does turn into being on site being like, okay, who from the event host side is going to do it? Or do you have someone who isn't busy during the program piece? But thinking through those scenarios of like, yeah, that's one of my favorite scenarios to talk about is being like, what if we can't find a speaker? What do we do? Do we skip them? Do we stall with our host, hopefully, that we have on stage? Do we, you know, what does that look like? And there's no right answer to that. Everybody in every show has their own answer. So, but before we kind of jump into a little bit of what traits and skills make a good stage manager, we're going to take a short ad break.
Do you have a dream event to work on, or do you want to change your career path in the event industry but don't know where to start? Or maybe you feel stuck and aren't sure it's possible? Laura Yarbrough Lloyd is an event career coach who helps aspiring new and experienced event professionals like you break into your next dream event, role, or sector. Send a direct message to Laura on LinkedIn, Instagram at Laura Lloyd Events, or click the link in the show notes and make sure to reference the Better Events podcast to get 15% off one-on-one packages and discover your potential with a flair for events.
And we're back. All right. So stage management, Mary, what traits or skills make a great stage manager?
Ooh, maybe we'll like go back and forth, because the first thing that pops in my head is someone who can, I don't know how to say it. They can anticipate needs. Like they're looking ahead and seeing what is coming.
Proactive.
Yes. There you go.
I like that. Yeah. So they're proactive. They're able to anticipate what comes next. I can agree more. I think so much of it is you're not just thinking about what's on stage. It's like the next two or three things. I don't think people realize until they're in it that there's so much prep goes into each single moment. So you're actually looking for like what's happening in 5 minutes, what's happening in 10 minutes, while also still part of you is being like what's happening on stage, because you also have to pay attention. Like if a mic stops working or something like that, the stage manager is like running out there with the spare batteries or the spare mic. Or I feel like the most common one I have is the clicker. We always have a second clicker in the pocket of the stage manager so that they can run it out to them if there's an issue. Another one for me, I think, is really strong people skills, in the sense of being able to hold yourself professionally in front of all different kinds of people. And a lot of what you're doing when you're a stage manager is you are speaker facing. So you are going to come into close contact with either leadership from an organization or VIPs or even celebrities. And just being able to handle yourself, I don't think you need to treat any of those groups different than anybody else, but handling yourself with professionalism. You are the last person they're going to talk to before they go on stage in front of 10 people or maybe in front of 5,000 people. And so you need to be presenting a calming presence that is going to just continue to let them focus on their content and go do a good job. And you're giving them only the information they need, nothing else. They don't need to know if anything's going wrong or running awry or, you know, nothing apart from the crucial things, and giving them kind of an, you know, you got this. I like to bring, people say I'm very positive and high energy kind of as a stage manager. And that's what I'm there. I'm there to calm, but then also be like, you got this. I'll be your biggest cheerleader from the wings. Like they're going to love it. So Mary, what's another trait, or do you agree with that one for people skills?
No, I'm just kidding. Of course I agree. Yes. That's a great one. Another one I would say is what you actually mentioned, and that is being comfortable in front of large groups of people. Because if you do have to run out that mic or run out that clicker, if you are just going to like cower in fear from being on stage, that's not good, right? I mean, you're not on there for very long, but if that is just going to like intimidate the heck out of you, maybe it's not the best role. Would you agree with that?
I do. I mean, you don't have to speak. It's just being visibly seen. I always joke, that's my favorite thing in sporting events. My parents always look for me on TV and I'm like, you shouldn't see me on TV. I am hiding. I'm trying to get out of the shot is what we say. And just staying away from the cameras. So you shouldn't see me. And I take that into my corporate events stuff. I'm like, I don't want to be seen unless I have a crucial role. I mean, I feel like I stage manage even virtual events. And it was the same thing being behind the scenes as the Zoom producer. I'm not trying to unmute and be on camera, but you know, sometimes people are going to shout us out that they need something, they need a hand, or, you know, for you to start a poll or whatever. But yes, you need to be comfortable. And then I think another trait and skill would just be, like you said, being proactive, but also like you have to do well under pressure. This is a role that like you're going to rehearse, you're going to have that time to practice. But like when the show is happening, you're in it. So if something happens in the moment, like you have to be able to think really quick on your feet. Your stage manager is almost always on headset so that they can hear from the show caller, director, or the tech team or anybody, and they can just like quickly respond to things. And so if the program is going, you are on. And again, I know some event folks that's just not their jam. They'd rather be really focused on the logistics. And then once the program starts, they get to take a breath for a second and they know other people are handling it. But I personally love stage managing and show calling and being in that world. Again, I think it harks back to my sport background of being an athlete, that I like that you practice and prepare, and then here you have to perform.
Yeah. Any other skills that you would highlight? If not, we can talk about tools.
Not so much specific to stage managing. I think just to talk about, we said what every good planner, event planner has, but like being punctual, doing what you said you're going to do, like, again, knowing your role and anticipating and doing a good job. I feel like those are the minimums in my head. And I definitely have had some folks that are stage managers, and I'm sure in certain circumstances are great, but they've been like hard to find. And you're like on headsets, like, where is this person? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And it's like, okay, like we all have a schedule. We're all sticking to it. Like, you know, making sure that you're just kind of doing the little things.
And then, so yeah, there are also some tools that a stage manager could need for an event, whether tools or just like things that they'll need. The first one that pops in my head is just like the run of show, access to the run of show, so they can see exactly what's coming up. And I guess that's a skill too, is the ability to read a run of show, which isn't that hard. You like to just do it a couple times and you'll be able to do it most likely. But so that's what comes to my mind first. What about you, Logan?
And I think just to dovetail on yours with the run of show, I have had some from some more complex productions or ones where we have a team. Again, sports, we have usually a team of stage managers. We also have the run of show, but then that often will make like a cheat sheet, which is just the parts that kind of pertain to being the stage manager. That is like a just a little bit more basic and simplified version of the run of show that just tells you what you need where, or if you have lots of props, this is really helpful for showing you where you need props and stuff, so you're all staged and ready to go. So that like cheat sheet and or run a show. I know some stage managers from sports who don't like looking at run a show, which I think is really funny. They just rely on their cheat sheet. But I would highly encourage you listeners to know both, because you're not always going to get a cheat sheet, and the run a show is usually not that complicated once you kind of know what column pertains to you, what information you actually need. I'd also say having, you know, being on headset, and that's a tool. So whether it's a walkie talkie or an actual, you know, big production headset, I have stage managed in a group chat before. I didn't enjoy it. It was pretty slow for what felt like pretty tight cues to give. So you just definitely need those. You don't need to provide it yourself as the stage manager. It's often provided for you by, you know, the on-site team. If you are in charge of the whole production, though, I would make sure you have some form of communication system for your stage manager and your show caller or your director or your producer, whoever that person in charge is, so they have a direct line of communication.
I don't know that I have another one. So teach us, Logan. What else do they need?
I think what else? I mean, I feel like as a stage manager, yeah, I feel like you need, I mean, once you have your comms, it's like you need something for your comms to clip to. So you guys know I've plugged a backpack that I love, because I think as a stage manager, you're asked to hold a lot of random things. I mentioned as an example, like a clicker. Sometimes you need spare batteries, or you're the one holding a spare microphone, or maybe you're holding speaker notes. Like, these are all things I would always have spare batteries. That's a good like pro stage manager move. I have a backpack that I wear that I can fit a water bottle in and all these other random things. And I can then clip my comms to it versus clipping it to my pants or my hip. A lot of women's fashion, I feel like, does not actually hold up something heavy clipped to it. So that's been my workaround. Again, if you're on more on the production side, if you really want to level up, having gaff tape, G-A-F-F tape, is a special kind of production tape that does not leave its sticky residue on anything. So it's what everybody in the AV world uses to tape down cables and tape down things and have it. But you're not taping cables as a stage manager, but you need it in some fun, bright colors to give people their staging marks. So this is something that you do in theater. You see they make little X's and little dots and marks all over the stage for where they put props and or where actors need to stand at specific times. Events are the same. So having that to be able to put a little, you know, tiny little X that, again, it's only going to be visible if people look really, really closely, to be where the speaker should stand if they want to be right in front of the camera. Or putting that bright tape over some stairs that backstage when the lights are out backstage, because we need it for to look nice in the lighting in the room. All of a sudden, these stairs are really hard to see, and you can put this hot pink or bright yellow tape on the stairs. Again, production companies will have this. I've just found some really seasoned stage managers will have this on them already. And then trying to think what else I have. I also like random, just planner things that I'm like, have Band-Aids. It's all the little random stuff that like you never know when you're backstage, someone's going to need something. I love throwing a granola bar or something in there in case. I've used it both for myself if I get peckish, but also for like, I've had a host who's just been like exhausted and it's been like, do you want a snack? And that has been a pro stage manager move. But bare minimum, you need to run a show. You need some kind of communication. And then Mary, this one's very simple. And yet I've met people who don't do this. A pen and a highlighter. If you are hired as a stage manager for an event, please bring a writing implement. You're going to have to write something down that is on the run of show maybe, but you need to like call something specific out to yourself or exactly what side of the stage they're coming on, or add that prop that you want to make sure in there, or a highlighter I find is really helpful. I use that in my run of shows to highlight everything that's relevant to me. And that just, or big moments I don't want to forget. And that just makes sure that you're going to be, like Mary said, her first tip of being able to anticipate and be getting ahead of things versus waiting for them to happen.
Never anticipate a good pen. I love that. Bring
just
a pen.
The people who show up without a pen, Mary. It just blows my mind.
It's like the event kids volunteers who showed up without a pencil.
Do you have a pencil? It's like event volunteers. Totally. You don't need a pen. I will provide pens for you. But there's some folks that I've just been like, you didn't bring a pen. It's like, I didn't think I need something. It's like, okay.
That's awesome. Yeah. Those are super good. I'm glad that you covered the bases on those ones. How does someone start stage managing if they think this sounds interesting?
I feel like you should start this question, Mary, because I feel like, how did you start stage managing?
Well, I haven't done it terribly often. I feel like I got thrown into it a couple times, some on my own events, because I was like, oh no, we need this. I'm going to go do it. Like, I know the program well enough to do it and I'll make it happen. And then other times, because people have just trusted me to try something, like you, Logan. So yeah, I actually think a couple times have been people have just like trusted me to figure it out. I don't know that I've had any other like ways to get into it except like, this needs to happen. Will you go do it? Sure, I'll do it. Just the willingness to try, because as we've identified, it is something that can fall through the cracks. So you could easily try this if you realize your event doesn't have it and might need it. But if you want to do it intentionally, there are probably ways.
Yeah, well, but I also think to your point though, of how you just started, is though you probably exhibited some of those traits we mentioned that make a great stage manager. You didn't have anybody who'd never worked with you all of a sudden hire you as a stage manager, right?
No, yeah, that's true. It was always someone that I knew, yeah.
Yeah, so someone that you had experience with. So I think for listeners, if you're trying to get into this, that's a great avenue of just letting people around you know, I'm interested in stage managing. And if they've worked with you before and know you're ticking these boxes, and yeah, maybe you don't know the technical piece, but you can learn that as you go. And like we've been talking about, there's no one way to stage manage. There's traits that make you a good stage manager. I really think the only way to be a bad stage manager is to either to not anticipate and just be really behind on things and reactive, which is just not good, and or to be a negative presence backstage where you're negatively like leaving bad impressions on the speakers is really the only two ways to mess up being a stage manager, which doesn't mean it's not complex and a very, you know, a difficult job to do. It's just those are the two ways that I could see really missing, versus if you're approaching it how Mary did, where she has these skills already. It's just more wanting to know what's the technical side of it. And I've just found people are very forgiving as long as you're friendly and calming about it. You know, if you don't know exactly the perfect instructions to give your speaker, if you're just literally saying, here's where you go on, when you're done, you're coming right back off to me. Have a great speech. Like, that's it. You don't need to be super technical if you don't want to. For me, starting to stage manage, I think was pretty much similar. I want to say my first formal experience, I think, was in sports, if I can remember back. And it was someone that I'd worked with more in the logistics capacity. And I think it also I had exhibited, you know, that I think I would like it. And I got asked to fill that role. And I luckily was a part of a team, which was really nice. I was just one of 5 or 6 stage managers. And so I was able then to learn from the group. But I remember feeling intimidated as I started, because I was like, I don't know really what I'm doing. And then as soon as we started getting into it, I was like, oh, this is just event management, like what I'm doing, but just on a very visible scale by doing this on a basketball court. But it's just the same thing of anticipating, trying to solve problems, thinking 4 timeouts ahead so that we're ready and we're not going to get caught off guard. So I think you're not going to find stage manager roles really listed online if you just Google stage manager for events. I often would find these roles by connecting with other event planners, event planning companies, event production companies. And just kind of saying that this is something that you do. And I do work with some folks on events that, like, they are solely stage managers for corporate conferences. And that is what they do. And that is all they're interested in. And they work with just event production company after event production company. You'd be surprised. You can really build a business around some of these things. Again, we talk about repeat events. Like, if these speakers love you, they're going to request you by name. I know one guy who has one client that he does like 8 events with a year because the CEOs and all the C-suite people just love him. And not saying we couldn't bring somebody else in who would do great. They really love this guy. And so he's got a job for as long as he wants to keep stage managing for those people. So that's my plug for why you should, if any of what we talked about sounds enticing to you, I think you should try it out. I just wouldn't get into stage managing if you think it's going to be, you know, the opportunity to work with celebrities and like this super cool, you know, flashy job. I have gotten to stage manage and talk to, you know, people, everyone from like Yao Ming to, you know, other famous sports athletes, that it's just been one that I'm like, you just have to treat them like everybody else with respect and kindness, but you're not taking selfies with them. You're not taking photos. I just have these anecdotes and stories that I get to share with people. So that's the cool part, I would say, for me, of being it, but I wouldn't let that be your only motivation.
Yeah, that's a super good call out. Definitely, definitely important. And so cool for the guy who just like built that rapport with that executive. Like, that's actually a really, really interesting angle, that because some of them just, I don't know, stage manager to me just seems like a gig. But if it could be something that lasts because of that, like if you're really good at it, I think that's empowering. That's super cool.
I mean, it's those multi-day programs, because I think about it, stage managers part of rehearsal. They're part of the actual thing. Like, especially if you have extensive rehearsal time, like they're going to get to know you. Just like in a producer role. I mean, that's also how I know I've built my business around some people. It's just like, they want me back. Why? It's just, we like Logan. Bring Logan back. Not to say that Mary couldn't do just as good of a job. It's just like, we like Logan. We're going to keep working with Logan. So there's definitely a longevity in it. And you never know where your next gig's going to come from. But I think vocalizing and saying that you want to stage manage is a value add. Mary, you didn't get to mention the one thing that you do with the book signings things, which I feel like is a fun plug for this group, because you technically are stage managing for that. Or you're speaker managing? How would you?
I would call it more speaker management, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know where it falls. But yeah, there's this one gig I've done. I'm going into my third year where I've done book signings for a big conference, and then they on the side have book signings for authors. And so, yeah, I'm like getting the book signing library area ready. Like, we get their books on stack, and then people start to arrive, and then we're like managing the line. And then we like tell the next person when to go or not, because they'll like get up in each other's grill because they're like excited for their turn. So I have to like stand there. So I'm like stage managing fans, I guess, kind of, which is interesting to think about, I guess. Yeah.
It is. But I would call that stage managing. I would. Like, it's just, it's similar skills. Your stage is the book signing table, you know, but you're still dealing with a lot of the same elements. You've got props there. You've got an audience. You've got times. You might not have a run a show, but maybe more a timeline that you're running off of. But I mean, I would count that as stage managing. So yeah. And I know for me, it's a bucket list. I do want to be a part. Unfortunately, with my travel schedule right now, like, couldn't commit, but I'd love to actually stage manage in a theater production just for the experience. Maybe not the show calling stage manager. Maybe it's the prop manager. I don't know. The assistant stage manager. I think that's what they call it, you know, just to be a part of it, because I do think there's interesting pieces from the theater world that we emulate in events. And then there's things that are different, you know, for both sectors, but I love learning, and that's just one that I'm like, I feel like there's some cool stuff. I always look for the stage managers when I go to see different theatrical performances and musical performances. I feel like a concert would be fun too.
That would be really cool. Well, you heard it here first, everyone. If you have an opportunity like that, reach out to Logan. That would be awesome.
It'd be so great, Mary. Yes, we're going to manifest it into being. But I think that brings us to the end. And before we wrap up, Mary, you have our bonus tip this week.
I do. Okay. So our bonus tip is that if you're doing an event, kind of maybe it's like an incentive or something that really utilizes social media to spread the word about this event, or you're like doing social media in real time, then I would encourage you to have someone who is specifically in charge of that on site. So sometimes I've tried to do that even for my own events, you know, and like trying to capture the content, and I'm already trying to like plan and produce the event, that it's too much. I don't get quality content. And so this is me encouraging you to have somebody who is managing that social media for you, whether it's a volunteer, it's someone you're paying, whoever it may be, to help you if that is something that your event depends on. So that's our bonus tip for today.
Amazing. I was going to say, Mary, how many photos on your camera roll are just things that are either half built or things you had to fix?
I don't have any like before and afters. I just have like befores.
Yeah.
Like, dang it.
It's an event planner problem. I have so many from site of like random close-ups of things. And then after it, I'm like, oh, I have no content. But yes, I took Mary's advice for an event we did last year. And I had somebody on our team that I said, you're in charge of taking behind the scenes photos. I need to do these, because if not, I'll think about it as I fall asleep at night. So great bonus tip, Mary. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at Better Events Pod. You can send us an email at bettereventspod@gmail.com or visit our website, bettereventspod.com. And as always, you can connect with Mary and I directly on LinkedIn. We love hearing from you listeners. Seriously, thank you. Keep those coming. And as always, we appreciate you for listening, and we'll be back in your feeds again next Wednesday.